From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, the Republican candidate in the race for governor issues a civility challenge. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his midterm election political predictions, and we'll look at the impact in New York of President Trump's signing of America's Water Infrastructure Act. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. One of the major party candidates in the New York race for governor has issued a civility challenge, asking his opponents to refrain from all negative ads and attacks from now until Election Day. More from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Republican candidate for governor Mark Molinaro says the toxic level of vitriol and the events of recent days, including pipe bomb devices sent to leading Democrats who are critics of President Trump and the shooting at the Pittsburgh synagogue that took 11 lives, have led him to make changes to his campaign. He says he will halt all negative advertising or attacks on his opponents between now and Election Day. Molinaro is calling on the Democratic candidate in the race, incumbent Governor Andrew Cuomo, to do the same.
Lives were taken, tragically, over this last weekend, taken tragically. And there is no room nor any place for the kind of anger and hatred that we have seen. And to assign blame to one party or the other isn't what we should be doing today. We should be leading. This is what leadership looks like. Take down the negative ads. Stop the personal attacks.
Molinaro says he will instead focus on a message of hope and aspiration, and he says he's taken down an ad accusing Cuomo of corruption. The governor also called for an end to angry rhetoric during multiple appearances on cable news channels after the pipe bombs were discovered in the mail for former Presidents Clinton and Obama and others. On Monday, the governor reacted to the Pittsburgh shooting.
And anyone who seeks to divide, anyone who seeks to separate, anyone who tries to segregate who is worthy and who is unworthy, that is not an American as we have defined it in this nation.
But Molinaro counters that Cuomo has not applied the same principles to his own campaign and is continuing to buy time on television stations and on social media to promote negative ads attacking Molinaro. Cuomo, in a heated debate with Molinaro earlier in October, repeatedly tried to tie the Republican candidate to President Trump and Trump's negative rhetoric.
Do you support Donald Trump?
Mr. Molinaro,
you can't answer it.
Molinaro, who has distanced himself from Trump in the campaign, says those accusations just continue the negative cycle. The Republican candidate for governor did not directly criticize the head of his party, but he did condemn some of Trump's specific acts in recent days.
It is not okay to call the press the enemy. It is not okay to suggest that people should act out violently. It is not okay to say we should kick our opponents when they're down.
In the final days of the campaign, Molinaro has far less money to spend on ads, negative or positive, than does Cuomo. According to filings with the State Board of Elections, Cuomo has nearly $7 million in his campaign account, while Molinaro has just over $300,000 left. The Cuomo campaign responded several hours after Molinaro issued his challenge, saying they are glad that Molinaro is finally joining the governor's calls for civility. Spokeswoman Dani Lever turned the focus back to Trump, saying if Molinaro wants to ask someone to be civil, he should start with the president. Molinaro says even if Cuomo doesn't agree to the civility challenge, he's going to do it anyway. He says Cuomo is his opponent, not his enemy. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Well, after staying mostly on the sidelines since losing the Democratic primary to Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York last month, Alan, Cynthia Nixon has endorsed the governor for re-election. Facebook video, Cynthia Nixon urges fellow progressives to vote on the Working Families Party line, quote, top to bottom. Cuomo, of course, at the top of the ticket next week.
Yes, I suppose. Look, Cuomo's going to win. He's being endorsed by all the newspapers. Cynthia Nixon had a choice. You know, you support the Democrat or you help the Republican get elected. And that Republican was not going to get elected anyway. So Cynthia Nixon did what she felt she had to do.
Well, I think it's fair to say that you think that Governor Cuomo will probably win. Let's do some more political predictions. Alan, I'll name a race. You give us your thoughts.
Sure.
New York's 19th Congressional District, Antonio Delgado, the Democrat, facing incumbent Republican John Faso.
Well, we all know it's too close to call. There are an awful lot of things in play here. The number one issue is how the blue wave is expressing itself in the district. Are people going to come out in massive numbers and say, okay, now, Faso said to me, we were talking, and he said, you know, if Hillary Clinton had been the president, I would have coasted to victory. But Hillary Clinton isn't the president. And that's the way that this goes. This is a referendum in the 19th Congressional District and in so many more on Donald Trump, who is fighting like a caged hyena to maintain whatever he has. And he's running all around the country, and now he's getting out racist ads, and he's blaming Hispanics. The real question is, will the Hispanic vote, for example, which many people say don't take for granted, change as a result of being victimized by these ads? So there are a lot of things going on. I wouldn't even begin to say who's going to win, because it's going to come down to a very close vote. And the side that gets their people out, that's the side that's going to win. There are times I have a gut feeling. I don't have that right now.
21st Congressional District. This is Elise Stefanik, the Republican incumbent, versus the Democrat Tedrick Cobb.
Well, you know, Tedrick Cobb is a hell of a good candidate, no question about it. Stefanik is in a district where she's the incumbent. The polling has been going her way. I don't think that there's any great reason to believe that Stefanik will get defeated. However, if the blue wave turns out to be unexpectedly strong, anything could happen.
A nasty race in the Mohawk Valley, central New York, down to Binghamton. Strangely drawn district. Nonetheless, the Democrat Anthony Brindisi facing the Republican Claudia Tenney.
Well, you never know. But, you know, I tell you, on that one, I have an instinct. I have an instinct that Brindisi, who is a familiar name in Utica and other places, is going to win. But, again, it's going to be very, very close, and it depends on who comes out.
The state attorney general's race, very interesting race. It has Tish James. That was the governor's handpicked candidate, the Democrat, against the Republican Keith Wolford. As an aside, Alan, Wolford from Buffalo. And the debate this week, they asked Tish James about something called a garbage plate, which is a very familiar dish out in the Rochester area. She had no idea what it was. And the regionalisms sometimes catch these statewide politicians.
Yeah, it's true. It's embarrassing, but she'll win. The polls will show her winning. It's a blue wave time. She's going to win. What she does if after she wins, whether she's capable, as she claimed she was, of being an independent and of holding the governor responsible if he needs to be held responsible, that's another whole story. We'll remember that she turned down the Working Families Party designation because it was clear that Cuomo was angry that he hadn't gotten it himself. You know, my sense of it is she can't lose, but what we have to do is watch her after she wins.
What about all the way out in Western New York? The indicted Congressman Chris Collins still running for the seat. He was indicted, of course, on insider trading.
Well, you know, he says he wants to keep the vote Republican. He says he wants to keep the seat Republican. It's a Republican-drawn district. I think he will. It's unbelievable. He's under indictment. It'll be much closer than it would have otherwise. There certainly is the possibility that those folks will say, hey, even an indicted Republican's better than a Democrat.
Finally, in a probably not highly watched race, the state comptroller race. And you spoke this week with the current comptroller, Democrat Tom DiNapoli. He had quite a debate with his Republican challenger, Jonathan Trichter, who nearly got thrown out of the debate.
Yeah, he did. He wasn't supposed to bring anything with him. He brought stuff with him, and the moderator said, hey, you continue this, I'm going to throw you out of here. The Napoli will win, period. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Former Vice President Joe Biden was in Kingston, New York last week to stump for 19th Congressional District candidate Antonio Delgado. It's part of Biden's effort to turn out votes for Democratic candidates across the country. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn reports Biden also touched on that day's biggest headline, the pipe bombs sent to many top Democrats.
Biden addressed a large crowd of Delgado supporters, saying the November 6th midterm elections are like no other.
This is about the character of the nation. No, no. It's about, by the way, I appreciate the applause, but I'm not looking for applause lines. I'm deadly earnest about this. It's about who we are as Americans.
Biden addressed the matter of pipe bombs sent to a number of prominent Democrats, including himself.
But the country has to come together. This division, this hatred, this ugliness, it really has to end. And words matter. Words matter.
He then moved on to other themes.
Folks, I'm so tired of Democrats walking around with their heads down like, woe is me. How can we do this? We're in such trouble. It's time to stand up, damn it. Time to stand and remember who we are. There is nothing beyond our capacity. And I'll say it again, but this country has to come together.
Here's Delgado.
We need now more than ever thoughtful, smart, responsible government. Yeah. Because a lot of us, all of us, need that.
Delgado faces freshman Republican John Faso. In a statement, Faso said he is pleased to welcome Biden to the district, adding, quote, I appreciate his contributions to American political life over the past 40 years and his role in searching for a cure to cancer. It is not a surprise that a prominent Democrat is endorsing my opponent. However, most people in our district don't support higher taxes and the government-run health care scheme promoted by my opponent, end quote. House Speaker Paul Ryan was in the district last week appearing with Faso. And one of Friday's speakers, 20th District Congressman Paul Tonko, says Biden connects with working families.
And people see him as someone who totally identifies with the American families that have had hard moments, have had difficult times, are looking for a brighter tomorrow. He is a voice of hope, and I think he brings that hopefulness to this district today.
Cynthia Wolf of Kingston attended.
I think that Joe Biden is somebody who tells you the straight deal. And so, yeah, I think he's absolutely a great person to be here because he's going to tell the people what to do and how to do it and why it's important for us to do this.
Biden said the country is in a battle for its soul.
This is America, and together we can take it back. So go get it. Go get it.
Delgado, who introduced Biden following four other speakers, had a similar sentiment.
We got 11 days to make history. We got 11 days to take our future back. We got 11 days to remember who we are and what we're truly about and to go get it.
A Siena College Spectrum News poll released October 22nd shows 1 point separating Faso and Delgado, 44% to 43%. The Green Party's Steve Greenfield and Independent Diane Neal are also in the race.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
New York State Senator Betty Little represents the 45th District in New York, which includes Clinton, Essex, Franklin, Warren, and parts of St. Lawrence and Washington counties. She served 7 years in the Assembly before her election to the upper chamber in November 2002. The Republican is now facing Democrat Emily Martz as she seeks another term. Little tells the Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley that she is seeking her 9th term because she loves what she's doing.
I love the challenges that are every day, and I love getting good results. I always put people ahead of politics. I always have, and I always will. I work with whoever I can in order to get the results I need to get for the people that I represent, and I'm committed to working hard for them.
Betty Little, one of the interesting things about this year's state elections is that Democrats hope to regain control of the Senate. Your district is labeled a safe Republican district. Do you feel secure when there is such an intense effort by Democrats to gain control?
Well, I never take anything for granted in my personal life, my professional life, or my political life. And every election I campaign, it's good to be out there to talk to the constituents, to see what the issues are, and to really gauge how we're doing with the economy, with education, healthcare, with all of the issues that are important to everyone.
Senator Little, what would a potential shift from Republican to Democratic control mean for your efforts for this district?
Well, my hope and expectation is that we will control the majority again next year. And as most people are aware, the New York City and the downstate interests control the assembly. And if you have the same thing in the Senate, I just don't think it's good for upstate issues, for our priorities. And the governor has been good to the North Country and good to upstate, but the 2 years before when the Democrats had control of the Senate and the Assembly and the governor and the lieutenant governor and the attorney general, and then the comptroller was from just outside the city in Nassau County, if something wasn't good for New York City, it just wasn't good at all.
What issues are you hearing from your constituents that they want to see the state Senate work on?
Well, education certainly is always important, and there are certain categories of aid that my district gets. We need to separate the testing scores from the evaluation of the teachers, too. There certainly are many, many ways that an administrator can evaluate the teachers in their school district, and counting and depending on those students' test scores on one given day or 2 days is just not right. I've been against that since the very beginning. I was a teacher myself. So I just think that has to be changed. We have until June to change it. I voted in committee to change it. We didn't get it done. We need to get it done.
Senator Little, there haven't been any debates in this campaign. Why not debate your opponent?
I have debated my previous opponents any time. There was some problem, I guess. We submitted our League of Women Voters questionnaire with Dan McEntee, his name and cell phone number on it so they could do it. My opponent had claimed that the League of Women Voters had called my office 3 times and was told it would be transferred to the campaign office, which our legislative office cannot deal with our campaign issues and campaign, actions. And no one in my office recalls getting any of those calls, and I have 10 people. So somehow we had a mix-up on that, but otherwise, I certainly would have agreed.
Senator Little, when you look at this year's election, what's unique about it?
Well, I think the overall climate in the country is anger. And I think that's different than what we've seen in other elections. But I don't think the anger has permeated, my race. But I just think the atmosphere is that way.
An extended conversation with New York Republican State Senator Betty Little, who is running for re-election to represent New York's 45th Senate District, is at WAMC.org. She is being challenged by Democrat Emily Martz. An interview with Martz is also posted at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. Last week, President Trump signed into law a wide-ranging bill called America's Water Infrastructure Act of 2018. The bill authorizes specific projects across the country and also includes language to protect people from so-called emerging contaminants. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard explains.
On Tuesday, President Donald Trump signed into law a wide-ranging bill called America's Water Infrastructure Act of 2018. The bill authorizes specific projects across the country and also includes language to protect people from so-called emerging contaminants. As part of the massive bill, smaller communities will be required to test their water systems for chemicals like PFOA and PFOS. Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat from New York's 20th District, worked on legislation that was included in the bill. He spoke on the House floor in September in favor of a provision that would require water systems that service between 3,300 and 10,000 customers to test for emerging contaminants.
This would mean that thousands of communities like Hoosick Falls, New York, and similarly sized systems would no longer have emerging contaminants go undetected, potentially threatening their residents for years.
Until now, only water systems with more than 10,000 customers were required to test for PFAS chemicals. But critics say testing is pointless if the federal government continues to keep its current action level for PFAS chemicals, which have been linked to ill health effects, including forms of cancer. Rob Hayes of Environmental Advocates of New York is seeking maximum contaminant levels for PFAS chemicals from state and federal agencies.
The EPA action level for these chemicals of 70 parts per trillion is far too high to protect human health. And so many communities may be exposed to dangerous levels of these chemicals and not even know it because they're below that unsafe action level that EPA set.
New York's Drinking Water Quality Council has yet to agree on setting MCLs on PFAS chemicals, a goal sought by leaders in communities affected by contamination. The board met on October 17th in Albany after missing an October 2nd deadline. During the meeting, Deputy Commissioner for the Office of Public Health at the New York State Department of Health, Brad Hutton, pushed for action by the next council meeting.
And it's our intention that we would schedule that next meeting. Once again, a shorter special meeting to get your recommendation to the commissioner on an MCL for 1,4-dioxane, PFOA, and PFOS. The thinking is that there's some new information that we really want to focus on today to put you in the best position to make that recommendation, but we are going to be moving quickly to get your availability and get that meeting on the calendar and get that recommendation.
As the list of PFAS chemicals that could affect human health grows, Hutton said there was need to conceive of a broader approach for them as opposed to one at a time. The next Drinking Water Quality Council meeting has not yet been scheduled.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1844. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Giustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.